What's going on, guys? Busted Pencils. Producer Jacob with Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Johnny, how are you doing on this wonderful Saturday edition of Busted Pencils?
Hey, man, I couldn't be better, man. It's a Saturday. I love our Saturday shows because we get a little bit of a longer format, more time to chop it up and talk. And I'm especially excited about today's topic and conversation because I spent a lot of years as a teacher, and two, work with a lot of teachers and future teachers. And a big part of getting better at teaching, right, is having observations, being observed by your peers, being observed often by your principal, or maybe it's your mentor teacher, or a specialist in our district. I get to observe teachers often as, you know, a teacher educator, and I get feedback to people who are either veteran teachers, new teachers, or are studying to become teachers. And it's through that feedback, Jacob, through those observations, that we learn what we can do to be better at teaching. And it's a lot like coaching. I know we've talked about this before.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
The teacher-coach connection. You know, not the rainbow connection, but it's similar, in the fact that it's an exciting opportunity. But when we're teaching and we get real-time feedback and observation from people who have a protocol on what to look for, you know, and how to coach teachers to be more effective, to, you know, be more impactful with their instruction, how to engage their students as active learners, right? There are a multitude of ways that we can kind of, name the practices, but by and large, it's simple. If you're a teacher out there, you know what I'm talking about. Every year, at least once, ideally more often than that, right? You are observed by either a principal or some leadership figure in your building or in your district, and ideally by peers and often by a mentor teacher. And they give you feedback. They observe your classroom and you talk about how it didn't go so well and what you might do differently. In fact, much like good coaching, as teachers, we set goals, right? And then we work towards those goals and we're observed to see if, like, hey, have you grown? Are you meeting those goals? Are you supported in trying new things in your classroom? It's an important part of, you know, growing as a teacher. It's an important part of sort of accountability in our schools. But like most things, it's one more thing for people in our schools to do. And you have, you know, principals usually have the responsibility of doing this work. Maybe it's a vice principal or assistant principal or, you know, a department head in a building. But Jacob, this is something that is time consuming, as it should be. It is also something that oftentimes, you know, we have a lot of bias in it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's often something we aren't really taught to do as people observing. You know, you have to really commit to learning. How do you coach teachers? What's it all about? What protocol do you follow? What are the practices you put into place to help teachers learn from the observations you do? In another sense, Jacob, instead of it just being an annual obligation for school leaders, you know, how do we develop systems so that it's a generative process? It's one where teachers really feel like, hey, I'm learning. And I'll relate it to coaching, Jacob. I was just talking with a really great coach the other day, and he was saying, you know, some teams have all the pieces. They have the talent. They have the knowledge of the game. They have, you know, experience. They have everything. And your role as a coach is to, you know, pump them up, is to keep them focused, is, you know, to go in there and say, hey, we got to try hard. We got to support one another. We got to execute the game plan. We got to do X, Y, and Z. And they're motivators. And I think that's an important thing that a good coach or a good, you know, teacher does for their students, or anybody working with teachers does. But they also need feedback. They need to be learners, right? Great players on teams turn to coaches to be their teachers. They need to learn. Coach has to say, hey, you're doing all these things really well. I need you to do, you know, this differently. I need you to think about, you know, maybe it's your positioning or maybe it's how you made a certain play. You know, you're always giving, great coaches are always giving good feedback to people on their team or to their athletes at all times. And really great teachers do this. Well, you know, we talk about like if I'm learning to read in a classroom or I'm learning to write or I'm studying math in my classroom, you know, my teacher is observing what I'm doing and giving me real-time feedback and what I need to do differently or what I can do to be a better reader or what's that next step to help me, you know, jump, make a jump in my learning mathematics, right? So great teachers are constantly observing where they're measuring and observing where their students are at and giving them real-time feedback in a way that the student, you know, learns it. Some students, it's, you know, auditory. We talk to the students. Some students, it's written and auditory. Other students, you know, it's in a video. There's multiple ways, you know, we can reflect on what we're doing and make improvements and adjustments.
There's as many different ways for people to learn as there are people who have a different perspective on things or who learn in a different way. And sitting in that spot that we're in right now, thinking about the coach-teacher connection, I actually so happen, Johnny, to have a clip I prepared for the coach-teacher connection.
Oh, man.
Because
Jacob,
I saw
that's
this.
Why you're... Yeah, you're chairman of the board, man. Let it rip.
I was watching the NFL Network, and they were interviewing Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer, asking him about what he's looking for now that he's hiring a new defensive coordinator, and he had this to say.
Yeah, I think, John, a teacher, you know, I love what Jerry said. We want to cast a wide, you know, net of candidates and find someone that's a great teacher, a great communicator. You guys know me. You're around me a lot. I'm full of energy and love what I do. I think someone that's passionate about football, but the ability to take what is complicated information, what we ask our players to do in all three phases is complicated. We want guys that can say complicated information in a simple manner. And if I say something to you that you don't understand, I need the ability to say it a different way. The same message, but say it a different way, because how you learn might be different than how you know, Nick learned or how Ed learns. And I think that's the starting point for me.
And so if you're out there and you were skeptical about the importance of teaching and being able to teach in different ways and the value of these skills, well, there are guys who are making tens of millions of dollars in the NFL,
oh boy,
and their jobs depend on it, and they recognize, oh boy, you need someone who has these skills. There's a lot on the line here, and it should be just as important, I think, Johnny, to us and our schools across the country to care about the education kids are getting as it is our football players getting from their coaches. And it extends, Johnny, the evaluation process. Coaches are always being looked at. How's the team doing? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And that's exactly the same thing that happens with teachers, that evaluation process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jacob, in this age of accountability that we're in, it's formalized in districts and in our state. So we really turn to, you know, these procedures to help ensure quality instruction for all of our students. And, you know, I wish it was as, you know, formalized in sports as it is in schools. But even within it being formalized, Jacob, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's always great. And that's not me picking on the observers or the teacher coaches, you know, or the administrators, because like I mentioned earlier in this intro, you know, it's one more thing a principal or a school leader has to do in their day. If we're very lucky, we have building leaders this is their primary responsibility. And in fact, they're sort of experts on it, like teacher coaches. But as we know, most teachers out there, these observations are more obligatory and less formative in our practice as we'd probably like them or as ideally they're designed to be. So man, Jacob, I'm pretty stoked because today on a Saturday show, you know, without being rushed by class in session, and I love our short format, but you know, we get to have with us today a guest. And when he comes on, we'll be able to give him a proper intro. But listener, you know, we've got a guest today who is one of those experts. He's made his career craft expertise as an educator, as a school leader, observation, teacher observations. What do I mean by teacher observations? Well, you know, Jacob and I have chewed it up a little here to get going, but it essentially is, you know, a teacher is teaching a lesson and an observer comes into the classroom and does an observation to give feedback to the teacher, who is essentially a student in that context, right?
Yeah.
I can relate. I have a terrible golf swing, Jacob. And I wanted to, you know, correct my golf swing a bit. What did I do? I said, you know, at the driving range, I say, hey, do you guys have golf coaches that give lessons? Sure enough, they absolutely do. Golfers out there, you know what I'm talking about. Well, they said, okay, let's walk out here. We scheduled a lesson. We went out there. They videoed me. They gave me real-time feedback. We watched the video together. They talked about what I needed to do to correct my golf swing. They gave me some things to practice, right? And after about 15, 20 minutes of that feedback, after seeing me in my awful golf swing, you know, they said, practice this. Give it a few more tries. Take an hour or so, you know, every couple of days and hit more golf balls, repetition and practice. And I'll come back. We'll do another lesson and observation and see how you're doing. Do you need to correct anything else? So that real-time feedback helped me correct my golf swing. Now, I wish I could say that it, you know, made me a much better golfer. I think there was improvement, but man, it's a hard, hard game. So, you know, I went back for more lessons, right? And so kind of my connection here is that ideally, when we work with observing teachers, it's not a one-off. It's not a once a year. It's not effective when it's only, you know, the minimum obligatory observation. Cool. Check, check, check. Gave the teacher some feedback. You know, they learned something and now we move on. There is sort of a whole strategy for how to support teachers changing what they do in classrooms, right? How to make them better teachers. So we have a guest today, Craig Randall, who specializes in teacher observation, the trust-based observation, right? And this is going to be exciting. Craig Randall, when we come back from the break, he's a counselor, a coach, a teacher, a principal, an author, a trainer, a consultant, right? And he's the author of Truth-Based Observation, Maximizing Teaching and Learning Growth. We're going to have Craig on and we're going to talk about observing teachers. And I can't wait. Stick with us, Busted Pencils, when we come back. Welcome back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education, pencil busters, our listeners. We introduced it in the early part of this podcast, this download, this broadcast. If you're listening on Saturday live, we have with us a guest, Craig Randall, a counselor, a teacher, a coach, a principal, an author, the creator of trust-based observation. Craig has worked in schools around the world and developed a strengths-based approach to teacher observation that replaces compliance and fear with relationships, reflection, and real professional growth. His work centers on two simple questions. What were you doing to help students learn? And if you could reteach the lesson, what might you do differently? Turns out those questions can change a school. If you believe teachers grow best when they're trusted and supported, then this is the guy for you. This is the conversation. And I'm a believer teachers need and can improve. Even if you're a great teacher, listen out there, you know that feedback, observation, and coaching and trust and relationships helps us be better teachers. Craig, welcome to Busted Pencils. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome, Craig. Tell us a little bit about you, your background. I mean, I give you the intro, but give our listeners, like, what landed you here as an expert in developing, you know, trust-based observations?
Yeah, I started a pretty eclectic career. I was an elementary counselor for 7 years, did a year in a severe behavior class as the counselor in the classroom, physical restraint, switched gears and did college, small college basketball coaching for 7 years. And ultimately though, like I didn't feel like I was making enough of a difference in the kids. And that led to international school teaching. The first principal there said, Craig, I think you'd be a good principal. And that really led to my finding my principal certification program, where the guy that ran the program, first day of supervision class, he said, you need to be in classes every day, supporting teachers, identifying their strengths, building from that, supporting them, helping them grow. And he's the one that I got those two questions from. And we practiced every single day in class doing observations and building from them. And I got lucky with my first assistant principal job with a guy where I said, I have this crazy idea for observation. And he said, let's do it. And he did it with me. And teachers just loved the difference. They loved that you valued what they had to say. They loved having their strengths shared without a number or a rating tied behind it. And it just grew and evolved from there until maybe 6 years later, an elementary principal I was working with said, Craig, you need to protect your work. And I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, maybe there's something here. And then I presented at a conference and went really well. I thought, gosh, maybe I should write an article. And it got accepted. And then came back from being overseas and put it on paper and became a book. Now I train schools all over the world.
So I can see two great things awesome. Here right away, Johnny. Number one, I can see why Tim was comfortable letting you and I handle this, because he heard this fella has coaching experience and he knew, okay, this is Johnny's guy. Johnny's going to love this interview. And the second thing I hear here is what we really love on Busted Pencils is when somebody has an interesting idea, a new way of doing things, an experiment in the realm of education, we're all for it. And we love hearing stories like this where people are having ideas, they're trying things, and they're leading that innovation in education, because that's so important, Johnny.
Absolutely. Yeah, Craig, we talk here a lot on Busted Pencils about the teacher-coach connection. Yeah. And similarly, as a high school teacher, you know, and coach, and then professor, teacher education and coach, you know, I was never as an educator able to separate out coaching from teaching and teaching from coaching, and the two go hand in hand. But Craig, for our listeners, and this is really exciting because we get a lot of teacher guests on here, and we talk about, you know, teaching and what it's like to be in the classroom. And a lot of our listeners are principals and educators. So this is a topic near and dear to them. But for our listeners who are in the community, who are learning about how schools work, it's less familiar to them. Maybe they're a parent or they're just a member of the community who hears about school effectiveness and instruction. Can you talk to us a little bit, and the listeners, explain what sort of teacher observations typically are in general, and then what's really different? Because there's something unique and different about trust-based observations. Can you give our listener a little overview of what it typically is and what trust-based observation is?
Yeah, for sure. I think typically it feels really high stakes. It's a formal observation where you as a teacher meet with your principal and tell them what you're going to teach. And then they come in and watch you teach. And then they come and they have a meeting and they give you scores on all these different areas of teaching. And they rate you on a 1 to 4 scale. And then they give you the report. Oftentimes, because it's so high stakes, you're not really seeing real teaching. You're seeing teaching that's done to tick the boxes. And so we're not even having real conversations. Teachers don't like the stress that's involved. They don't even like that they're having fake conversations, and they don't think principals really like it either. And so we come in unannounced. We don't, and which actually teachers really like because they don't have to do extra preparation. So we're having conversations about real practice. And we focus on strengths. And we start with strengths. We don't put numbers in front of it. And we ask those questions. And we ask those questions without having the numbers tied to it. And we focused on strengths. Teachers all of a sudden feel valued. You care what I have to say. That matters to me. And then they're not used to having their strengths shared unless there's some number. And then there's always something that makes you feel less, more cautious about it. And so really when that happens, teachers trust more and they open up. And then they're much more willing to try new things that are going to help them grow as opposed to the traditional way that we've been doing it all these years.
I love that. And listener, I bet you did too. We got more when we come back. More time with Craig Randall and trust-based observations. Busted Pencils. Welcome back, Busted Pencils, fully led in education talk, educated educators talking education, Saturday broadcast. If you're downloading and listening later, it's a podcast. Nonetheless, great conversation here with Craig Randall from Trust-Based Observations, right? Gave us an excellent explanation in the previous segment about what we mean when we're talking about teacher observations and what's different than the typical teacher observations that we've all experienced at least, well, hopefully at least once a year in our schools and classrooms. And all of us teachers and school leaders out there know it's just not enough. It's not the kind of support that helps us become better teachers, right? And that trust-based observation, as Craig kind of described, it's like a dream. Whether you're a veteran teacher or you're a new teacher, that feedback, that relationship, that conversation, that support about how we can be better at our craft, which you care so much about. Every kid deserves an excellent teacher, but we become excellent teachers and we get even better when we have awesome observations and great feedback and excellent support and coaching. That's what Craig's talking about. Craig, now we're in the next segment. We got a little more time and I love stories and so does our listeners, and Jacob's a big fan. You tell us a little bit, give us a story, give us a memorable experience. And when like trust-based observation, like big moment, it was like, wow, this stuff's really working.
I have a good story. I was training schools, and I had a school in the UK because we train all over the place. And it was amazing. Head teachers, what they call a principal. And so she had followed two incredibly toxic head teachers before. One that had been so toxic that they actually called the teacher the C word in front of other teachers, if you can believe it. And so she comes in, she's got a huge heart. She reads trust-based observations, it resonates with her. She's like, we got to get trained. This is going to be so great for my teachers. So about a week before the training, she sends him an email saying, hey, we're going to start something new called trust-based observations next week. You guys are going to love it. And this is coming out of COVID. They hadn't been observed in 2 years. And all they have is their memory of their previous experiences. The word trust doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, ah. And so she messaged me and says, Craig, we're not going to be able to do this. My teachers are freaking out. And I said, just calm down. And she explained what's going on. And we agreed that on Monday morning, I would talk to the teachers, which I don't normally do, and just explain trust-based observations. So I talked to them Monday morning. And ultimately, I say, here's the goal. It's for all the observers to build enough trust with all of you as teachers so that any one of us can come into your classroom, observe you, see you trying something new. And even though it's highly unlikely, have that thing you're trying be a train wreck, a disaster. But as opposed to a traditional observation where you'd be freaking out, it won't happen because you'll know the next day, the first thing the head teacher is going to say when they come into your room is, Johnny, I love it that you were trying something new, and then give you a high five. And then we say, because when we've created those conditions, it'll feel safe to try new things. So jump to midweek. we go and observe a teacher that by her own admission and by everyone on the leadership team's view, she was the most change-averse teacher in the school. The week or two before we'd gotten there, they'd had some Kagan cooperative learning training because that's a kind of a piece that we really value. And so when we went in, she did a couple of Kagan cooperative learning structures and she did a great job with them. And so we come and we have the conversation afterwards. And she says during the conversation, she says, I got to tell you, I don't like change. I like doing what I've been doing the whole time. And she said, I never would have done a Kagan lesson, even if you weren't coming. I just would have listened, gone to the training, and then kept doing my own thing. She said, but I heard what you said Monday morning, and I thought, what the heck, and I did it. And then she said, ultimately, you know, we just want to be valued and heard. But then the next morning, the leader that was leading that conversation for the training comes into our room, and she says, you'll never guess what happened yesterday. And she said that at the end of the day yesterday, she and that same teacher were walking out of the building at the same time. And she said that teacher said to her, I just want you to know that today meant more to me than you'll ever know. And she gave her a big hug. And then the Tuesday after the reflective conversation, after we left on Friday, the Tuesday after we left, that head teacher emailed me. She said, Craig, the healing has begun. You can just feel it.
Wow.
So that's the story.
That is a beautiful story, Craig. I want to ask you this because when I'm thinking about the situation and why it's so difficult for people to open up and receive that training or receive that advice, I think on one level, there's a natural fear that if I'm being observed and I do a poor job or I make a mistake, I could get in trouble. But there's also a dimension that's very natural to say, I don't want to look wrong or look silly in front of another person, even if I'm not going to get in trouble. But it's just natural to have a pride in your work or a worry about coming across that way. How do you bridge that gap? How do you not just let people know I'm not the policeman here, but also I'm somebody who you can be vulnerable with, and I'm not going to judge you or give you a hard time. I'm here to help.
Well, one, we literally tell them that statement every week so they okay. know that that's happening. But that's not enough because it also, look, people have had traumatic experiences with observation. People have had traumatic experiences with leaders that aren't super kind. And so we have to realize that trust takes time. And you know, Brené Brown talks about the connection between vulnerability, trust, and risk-taking. And she says, when vulnerability is too high, people won't take risks. She said, you lower vulnerability so people will take risks by building trust. And she has this great metaphor of a jar. And every positive action we do is putting a jar and a marble in the jar. And you have to fill that jar up before people are willing to take those chances. And so during the reflective conversation, one, by starting by asking questions instead of telling, those are putting marbles in the jar. By sharing all the strengths, those are marbles in the jar. And we do all these other actions, like we have the conversation in your room because having it in the principal's office doesn't build trust. We sit beside you, not across from you, for the same reason. So we do all these actions and we don't feel the need to offer a suggestion right away because people aren't ready for it. There's exceptions with new teachers, but we wait. Usually we wait till about the fourth visit. But even then, we don't tell you. We ask permission to offer a suggestion and we work with you. And people that have started out growth mindset, that have over time become more fixed mindset, they switch back to growth mindset and want to grow again. It's amazing.
Do you think that there's a mistake that people could make in this situation where they come on a bit too strong right away? Because I think one of the most natural responses to someone immediately demanding to have your trust is to recoil a bit and say, well, I'm not so sure. It sounds like your approach, putting those marbles in slowly, giving it the time that it needs to grow and develop, is pretty darn important to the process.
Well, it's vital. I mean, trust takes time. I mean, we're born to be trusting people, but look, we have a whole career for all of us of really observation, sort of feeling like gotcha.
Yeah.
And so some new guy comes in and is like, I can be all nice and do all this stuff. But if I start offering you a suggestion right away, you're just going to feel like I'm schmoozing. Like, you know, the Oreo cookie technique where you say a good thing and then what to get better at. Like Adam Grant put out a thing last year saying that doesn't work because people know that you're really just saying the nice thing to tell you what I really want is what to fix you. And it's the same theory. We have to trust it. If it's going to be genuine trust, it does. I have to build a relationship with you.
Craig, I love this. I'm sure our listeners are nodding along with us as, you know, you're talking about this and sharing that powerful, you know, story from, you know, trust-based observation. And Jacob, great questions about trust, because it is one of those things we often hear, like, we really got to trust the process or trust, you know, this. And for us, especially as teachers, connected to evaluation, it's often meant, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be some kind of score, and I'm either going to be good at what I do or not so good at what I do. Let's just get it over with and keep things moving. We've got a million things going on. Craig, you know, I'm curious for school leaders out there, for teachers that are hearing this, you know, what steps can they take? Where can they, one, learn more about your work, but also just kind of what are some practical steps they can take to move away from the traditional and, you know, to build this relationship-based observation protocol?
I mean, that's a good question. And it's not easy. You don't just do it. It has to be purposeful and by design and in the system. And really, that's what we think we've done. And I think, I mean, sure, you can read the book, but I'm happy to talk to anybody about what they're doing and listen to what they're doing and have a conversation with them. And they can email me, craig@trustbase.com, or the website's trustbase.com, and I'll chat with anybody. I think, what do I do in the meantime? I mean, depends what our laws are in our state. But boy, if you can get away from rating pedagogy, or when they're on your focus year, not your comprehensive year, you can say, let's make our focus a non-pedagogical thing so we can talk about what we really want to talk about. I think that's a great start. I think even if we haven't really fully started trust-based observations, if I could just start by sharing strengths with my teachers and notice, because when we put ratings behind a teacher, when the system requires that, it inadvertently, subconsciously creates a deficit mindset in us. And I start to think what's wrong, not what's right. And that colors my view of you as a teacher. So if I start to look at you from a strengths-based lens and specifically, and I want to say this, I know people will say this, and there's nothing wrong with this, but people will say, so every time I do an observation, I make sure I leave a little post-it note in the teacher's desk with something nice I saw. And I'm like, that's great, but that's one thing. How many strength things did I see in there? And so I think really, really starting by that, and starting by focusing on strengths, it starts to change your mindset. And it's so much easier for me to work with you when I see what you're strong at. And I think, oh gosh, I just think starting with questions instead of telling too, because that says that I value you. When I just start going right to the ratings, I mean, it just says, this is just about how I see you, and it creates fear, and people turtle up, and then they're way less willing to take risks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to Craig, to being observed, to doing observations. And I love this. I absolutely, listener, if you know, teacher, if you're out there, a school leader, if you're either being observed or observing, or you're part of your own growth plan, which is usually part of the process. I love that suggestion, Craig, about, you know, picking something non-pedagogical at times, like really working together, talking about the things, you know, that you want to talk about in terms of how to become a better teacher. What are the things, what kind of supports do you need, or what kind of strengths do you have, and how do we build up those strengths and then identify areas of growth together? You know, after we've built that relationship and we see that investment, we feel really good about being, you know, in that coach, teacher, learner, student relationship. I think it's really great, Craig. Appreciate the work you do. Listener, you heard it. You can check out trust-based observations. We'll put the website, you know, and the contact information for Craig in the description of the podcast. So if you're listening on the broadcast, you know, shortly after the broadcast this drops, you can check that out. But Craig, really love this, man. And before we wrap up though, you know, I'm getting a lot out of you here, Craig. We got a minute. Can you leave us with one quick kind of hope you have for every teacher out there, or school leader? Like, what's your kind of word, piece of wisdom, advice to pass on?
I think really what we're talking about is teaching is hard, and they want to feel supported and they want to grow. And I think as leaders, generally, we want to help them grow. And so I think we want to create conditions of trust and honor how hard that work is and support our teachers and work together to help them grow and find the best pathway to do it, because there's good pathways and bad pathways. And finding the correct pathway will make all the difference between a culture of trust and a culture of defensiveness and fear.
I love that. It's those differences that make a difference, folks. Busted Pencils. More when we come back. Welcome back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Listeners, we just had Craig Randall on. What an amazing interview. What a great work he's doing. You know, I love Jacob, what he left us with in terms of saying, you know, we've been doing this for a really long time. We haven't, well, with good intention, right? In an ideal way, we know that feedback and observation is really important to teachers learning, and it's in place, but we've been doing it not so great. And I love that he came on and didn't say, I've got the greatest way to do this. You know, he just said, you know, through his experiences and through these protocols, you know, and through developing trust-based observation, you know, look from learning about it, right? To practicing it, to, you know, putting it into action and seeing it grow and seeing it really support teachers and schools. What a great guest to have on. Love that. I think we could all agree anytime we commit to improvement and figure out ways to focus in on that and, you know, hear from an expert whose focus is that, we all get better. So I loved having that conversation with them. Hope that it's the first of many, because I know as a teacher, you know, today's show was something I still, even as a teacher educator, have a lot of questions about. Like, how can we make the best of, you know, this obligatory annual review observation kind of protocol that we have?
Yeah.
And make it more meaningful than that score or that rubric. Even when I'm working with a pretty detailed rubric, which I love, doing observations with a good rubric and, you know, getting good feedback on that, I still feel like at the end of the day, it's about where I landed on that. Even though we, you know, talk about, it's not about where you're at on the rubric. It's about, you know, the feedback and the process and the relationship. It doesn't feel like it, but what Craig was talking about, and that feels a lot like, dare I say it, teacher, coach, you know, athlete, student kind of relationship. Yeah. It really feels like, man, I want to learn that way as a teacher. And I want to, you know, observe my teachers that way. So I liked that. Jacob, what were your thoughts about Craig and trust-based observation today?
My big takeaway from meeting Craig and hearing him out about what he's trying to do and what he has learned through this process is that getting the trust of these people, the teachers that they're observing, is such an important component of things, because you can come in with the intention of helping these people improve in what they do. But if they don't trust you, if they don't feel comfortable enough to show you that there are, you know, possible deficiencies or areas where they could do better, then you can't do it. You simply can't help somebody improve if you don't know what's wrong. And people don't want to show you what's wrong if they don't trust you. So that process is so important, Johnny. And one of the things he said that I liked about that, where I thought that he really hit on a way to do it, is to come in and look for the positives in the teachers that you're observing. Because right away, that gives the teacher the feeling that, oh, this guy isn't looking for all the problems with me. He's here to learn what a good teacher I am.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that goes in life, right? When you really can recognize and identify strengths, and then build up around those strengths to areas that might need strengthening, I think we all do better. And I love that approach. And Jacob, I mean, I'm biased. I love anything that already acknowledges the great work teachers are doing.
Oh yeah.
And then says, how do we make it even better? Right? Not like, how do we add more work to it? Because it's always going to take hard work to improve, but it's, hey, we're doing great work. This is what we are doing really well. And here's what we can be doing better. Let's do it together. Let's get stronger and let's work to make sure every kid has the best possible teacher in these classrooms across our great country. And that's for you all in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, all the places where you're listening live. And then wherever you are in the world, right, on the podcast, because you download and listen from everywhere, right? You heard it, Craig Randall from Trust-Based Observations today. Really love it. Thanks for busting pencils with us, folks.
And Johnny, that's the super awesome thing, I think, about Craig and what he was telling us, is that they're finding ways to be on the same team. You know, we're not the scary internal affairs guys coming to get you. We have the same goal. You want to be the best teacher you can be, and we want to help you get there. Johnny, I think that was fantastic. I can't wait to have Craig back so Tim can meet this awesome dude and feel him out, get some ideas. And Johnny, I think there is time for one last thing.
And now it's time for your moment of Zen. Small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can transform the world. Thanks for listening to the Busted Pencils broadcast today. And remember to grab great podcasts chocked full with more fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on the Civic Media website. Hey, and don't be late for homeroom on Monday. And make sure you catch next week's class in session on Wednesday and find us on Friday for Producer's Choice. And of course, just like today, you can catch the Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time every Saturday across all the Civic Media Network stations for that 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.